keep shaking that shit. Let's see how to get you shaking on top of my dick. And you'll say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast number 198. I am GPD, and I am in Tokyo, Japan, and I am joined by Womwreck. Everybody was confused. They didn't know. Nobody knew who to answer.
I was completely baffled.
Ship Bat, what about you?
It's Bat Ship. It's Bat Ship Enterprises. That's going to be our Bat Ship. Batship Insane, I think, was the name of our company, wasn't it, Wombat?
Yeah, that was it. That's the name of our video game consulting company.
Batship Insane?
Yep, consulting.
How's that going?
Really well. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of clients.
Yeah.
We're working on lots of games. Well, we just finished working on Iron Man 2, the game.
Yes. Turned out great.
And it was a rousing success.
I saw, well, maybe it's a conflict of interest because Shipwreck reviewed it, although I did notice he gave it the finger in the review.
That's because their check bounced.
As long as you hate it, it's not a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Right, I understand. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear you guys are having a lot of success and getting the quality projects.
Exactly.
What's next? Alpha Protocol?
Wah, wah.
It might be all right, maybe.
Nope. No, it will not be good. No. It's very hyped up, and it will be bad. I will tell
is
you.
Is it even
right
hyped
now
up?
Yeah, like, people are into it.
I think?
Jon Snow is into it.
Really? We've seen it at two E3s, and both times it's failed to really impress me a lot. I mean,
you know what?
It looks all right.
Online today, I looked at the Snow Magazine website.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Really?
Is that The Informer? Is that what that is, or what?
No, it's Jon Snow's magazine.
Oh, okay.
Right. Wow, this is like Jon Snow City. What is that? What's the website?
I have no idea off the top of my head. I'm sure if you Googled it, you'd find it.
I don't know either.
Well, you're his friend.
Well, it doesn't mean I know. Wow. Oh, it's snow-mag.com.
There you go, snow-mag.com.
It's all like Japanese design stuff.
Yeah.
Look at that. Big plug for Jon Snow. And if you play in the CADcast drinking game at home, you're already wasted and it's not even 3 minutes into the show.
At 2:24, you are hammered.
You are so wasted. Well, speaking of Jon Snow, actually, I went with him to... I'm going to name drop a lot of people right now, so just get ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we went to Mark McDonald and John Riccardi's barbecue.
I didn't know that they were partners.
They are partners.
Yeah, they translate games.
They do game localization together.
The way you said it, you made it sound like they live together.
Oh, you mean like gay partners? Homosexual partners? No. No.
No?
They're heterosexual. And I'll tell you what, though. They can grill a sausage, even though they are heterosexual. Speaking of sausage, there was a lot of sausage. And I have to say that I enjoy sausage a lot. And I got to meet some other people that you might have heard of. I got to meet Frankie, from, you may know him from the Halo games.
Oh, okay. Frank O'Donnell.
O'Connell? I don't know. The bald Frank.
Something
guy.
Like that. Yeah.
Bald Frankie.
Yeah.
Frankie. And he was a super nice guy.
It is O'Connor,
and,
by the way.
I also got to meet Ben Judd from Capcom.
Very nice.
He is a very strange man.
You were on his podcast once.
I was, but I never actually met him. He lives in Tokyo now, and he is strange. Apparently, he likes showing his balls to people.
Did he show you his balls?
No, thank God.
Okay. Is he still with Capcom?
I believe he is with Capcom. I didn't ask him. If he shows his balls to some more people, he may not be.
I'm about ready to show my balls to Lost Planet 2, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I sort of looked at the review scores and the summaries, and it sounds like the type of game that you would want to show your balls to. So that was a lot of fun. And let me do some more name dropping. And yesterday, I went to lunch with most of those guys and Shane Bettenhausen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Ignition Entertainment fame.
Exactly. And 1UP fame, previously with 1UP fame. And he's actually a very nice guy. We had a lot of fun at lunch talking about people, talking shit about people and talking about good and stuff. And he remembered meeting you at PAX, Wombat.
I remember meeting him at PAX. It was actually one of the best times I had there. Was waiting on that line with him and Ben Gilbert and Sumit from Destructoid.
Oh.
And we just hung out for like an hour waiting on a line, just chit-chatting. It was a good time.
Yeah, he's epitomizes the like friendly, cool, nice game industry guy that pretty much the industry is filled with.
You know? Did he remember that time when I first met him when he was sitting by the pool out by E3 outside of the Hotel Figueroa with his shirt off reading a novel? And I kind of circled around the pool awkwardly. Do you remember that?
You circled around the pool?
Yeah. It was my first E3 when I was out there.
Because you wanted to check out his pecs?
Yeah. Offer to put lotion on his back?
He's a pale guy. He needed some lotion.
Right. Like you.
From maybe one pale man to another, you were able to give him advice?
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't mention you. I don't know if he knew. He did. He knew Wombat, though. And it was a lot of fun, and it was, you know, I'm so starved for social interaction that I feel like I must come across like a total asshole when I go to like a lunch with people, because I don't talk to anybody during the whole week, so I basically just want to talk nonstop during these lunches. So people must think I'm pretty full of myself, which I am, so they're right.
I was going to say, no, people don't think that. People know that.
Well, I sit in my secluded apartment all day, and I'm starved for interaction, human interaction. And it was a lot of fun. So what else is going on?
Good. I'm glad you're making friends.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I should mention Rob is legend. My friend Rob, I told him I'd give him a shout-out on the show. And he said that if we did give him a shout-out, he would ship us all cases of KY jelly, so...
What does he work? Does he work for KY?
He does. So big shout out to Rob.
What the hell am I going to do with a case of KY jelly?
I don't know, but now we better send one because I put him on the spot.
Right. Well, next time you go back to EA ship, you can grease up those glory holes.
Exactly.
If they're a little tight.
How was your Mother's Day, everyone?
It was good. We went to, I took my wife to a very nice brunch at the Grand Hyatt, very fancy. And then we went to the steak place that we like to go to on special occasions.
Nice. Yeah, I saw the pictures.
This is kind of weird. So, you know, the steak place is right across the street from the sumo arena. And we happened to go on a night where there's a sumo tournament going on. And, you know, we made reservations and everything, so we were fine. No problem getting a table. And, you know, the maitre d' there knows us because we, you know, I'm a giant white bald guy with a... you know, Japanese wife and a cute kid, so it's easy to remember. So he's showing us to the table, and as he's bringing us over there, he like leans over to my wife, and in Japanese, of course, points to the table next to us and says, like, I hope you don't mind, but there's going to be some sumo wrestlers sitting at this table. And, you know, and of course Shima said that we didn't mind, and, you know, she relayed that conversation to me afterwards, and I thought it was pretty weird because... you know, it's not like the table is like right on top of us or anything. Like, why would we mind? In fact, it's like kind of cool to see like big fat guys sitting next to you. So anyway, I didn't think anything of it. And of course, you know, the sumo guys came and it was just hilarious to see like these three enormous guys sitting in like regular chairs at this table. Like they could barely fit. And it was just wild to hear them order like 500 grams of steak and all these side dishes and... just crazy. So we leave the place and, you know, we're going to pay and everything. And the manager comes over and he's like, so, you know, again, I'm sorry that you had to sit next to the sumo wrestlers. I hope they didn't smell too bad. So apparently, like, sumo wrestlers smell, I guess, like, or they don't take a shower after the match. Because my wife said that he mentioned that to her, actually, when we were sitting down in the first place. But it was such a crazy thing to say, she just assumed that she misheard the guy.
Doesn't sound that crazy, though. I mean, you're talking about fat, sweaty, huge athletes.
I guess so. I mean, they look clean to me.
I'm sure some of them come in there after the matches, maybe.
It was after the match, but I would assume you take a shower afterwards.
I would assume
maybe they
have
the same syndrome that you do and don't like showering in public places.
That could be. You know what? They're so fat, though, nobody can see their penis. So they should have nothing to worry about. I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the steak was awesome. That's the point of the story.
How many grams of steak did you get?
I got 250 grams of steak, which is a good amount.
I have no concept of what 250 grams of steak is. You could say 100 bajillion gigawatts of steak.
That's exactly what it was. I can tell you to ounces, that would be 8.8 ounces.
It's like a normal size steak.
Yeah, it's a filet. You know, it was a filet. It's a ridiculously expensive filet. It's like the highest quality beef, the A5 Yonezawa beef.
I had a steak on Saturday, but not on... I had steak on Sunday also. Double steak weekend.
Hooray! Shipwreck, when you come to Japan, I will take you to this place, and you will enjoy good steak.
Yes, I will.
Yes. Maybe not smelly sumos, but you will enjoy something. Yeah. Anyway.
We didn't go out for steak for Mother's Day. I cooked steak for my wife for Mother's Day.
Nice.
Yeah, she likes skirt steaks, actually, so I marinated some skirt steaks and grilled them up. With, what did we have on the side? Something, I forget. With pierogies, because she likes pierogies.
Sounds healthy.
And I baked some brownies. It's Mother's Day. It was what she wanted for dinner. What am I going to do, say no?
No, you got to do it.
Exactly. And I bought her a tree.
That's a great gift.
You're just jealous, because you don't have a tree.
I don't have a tree. I'd like to have some trees.
What kind of tree?
A topsy-turvy tree. So basically a metal pole with a bag on top.
Sounds great. All right. Should we get into the show feedback? Because I don't know what's happening. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. We're talking about trees. We're talking about smelly sumos.
This show rocks.
I know. Why don't you take us into
the
show feedback?
Rocks my socks. Okay,
there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about this week. I want to really talk about like the EA online pass thing. It's a lot, you know, some of us might have played a game or two. So I think we should move along.
Well, then let's pick up the pace. Last show, SoxFan13. Hey, guys, I love the show. I've been listening for a long time. I wanted to address your position on DLC. I think that you've really got it wrong. This is the way the world works financially.
Too fast, too fast. Come on.
When I order an ice cream at Baskin
Dude.
I get my choice of flavors. Then for an additional charge, I can get toppings of all varieties. I'm not entitled to every topping that they have available just because I ordered an ice cream. Similarly, there are assets that developers don't put into the retail copy of the game. Just because it exists doesn't mean you get to have it for one cost. Cheapy, you've pretty much said that none of this DLC coming out is worth the money, so what are you missing?
Okay. Is that really, Shipwreck, is that really a fair comparison, comparing ordering an ice cream with toppings? Which also could be applied to any food purchase, any going to a restaurant and getting anything, you know, extra to DLC for video games.
I don't know. Isn't it more like you order a steak and then you have a choice to order a little bit more steak? Like after you're done with that steak?
I think it's more akin to...
Like you're halfway done eating your steak and then they come up and ask you if you'd like... the part of the steak that they cut out, maybe, or maybe there's a right. The next piece of the steak that somebody else is going to get later, but they give that to you. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me.
No, a better comparison would be like if you buy a book and then you finish the book and then like next week the author says, oh, by the way, there's another part to the book I never told you guys about, but if you want to check it out, it's going to cost you another $4. I think that might be a better analogy.
It's more like you went to this ice cream place for like 10 years, and every time you went there, there was a topping included with your ice cream, and then they came out with new flavors of ice cream, but with those new flavors of ice cream, you had to pay extra for the toppings, and the old flavors of ice cream that came with toppings aren't available anymore.
So basically, like before they had the capability to charge you for DLC... you know, like Xbox, PS2 era and earlier, all that stuff was just like cheat codes or, you know, just included in the game.
Yeah, they had to include it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great argument, Sox fan. I understand what you're saying. It's not the best comparison out there.
He's saying that you have a choice to buy it.
Of course, I understand that, but you know,
we agree.
We agree, and we all realize that the DLC is planned alongside when the main part of the game is planned. So it's not
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. It's okay. Well, okay, let's move on, because we'll probably swing around to this discussion a little bit later.
Yeah, it'll come back. I just wanted to bring up Dark Method. I talked a lot about DC Universe Online, and he actually runs a DC Universe Online website called DCUO-Unlimited.com, and he has told me that the game is still coming out this November. And so there we go. That game is still coming out, according to
considering we got an email about it today inviting us to a cocktail party at E3, I think it's still coming out.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. It was on the brochure. Absolutely.
I'm going boozing with Batman then. Sounds like
right.
Fun.
Actually, Joker was on the invite.
No.
Yeah, let me read the next comment because this is a good one. Chase Amazon says, "This has to be one of the worst performances on a podcast by Wombat ever. First off, he really dropped the ball by not reading all the Justin McElroy voice comments. Those were pretty hilarious comments, and even Justin tweeted about them. Wombat is just such a ridiculous kiss-ass when it comes to anybody at Joystick. I guess he still actually thinks he'll get hired by Joystick. I didn't even know you were in the job, running for a job at Joystick."
What would you do at Joystick?
I don't know. And to do even kind of what I do now, let's be blunt here. They really couldn't afford me.
Right. Well, what do you do exactly?
Don't worry about it.
What do you mean? I mean, you don't write, and pretty much that's what they look for.
No, I don't do anything that involves writing. I do stuff that involves more advertising/marketing.
Behind the scenes, pulling the levers like the Wizard of Oz.
Exactly, I'm the man behind the curtain.
Not the cheap-ass gamer curtain, you're talking about other curtains.
Yes, other curtains, yes, I'm not referring to your site.
Right, not my curtains. He goes on to say he really is devoid of any talent other than being a pretty good punching bag for Cheapy. And what was with his long rambling diatribes? I counted two, right? One about that Activision movie studio Godfather thing that made no sense. Another one about the DC Online game that even made less sense. Wombat equals zero. And then he goes on to say he likes he liked the glory hole discussion and the room that Shipwreck described at the EA studio with pretty much every game ever created sounded like a cream dream.
You know, it's funny, the movie studio analogy that I made last week, I got more comments from people, like, to my Twitter feed and whatnot about that.
They liked
it. And how much they liked it than I think anything I had ever spoken about before.
Oh, wow, look at that.
So that's, I'm like, really? So you just because you didn't get it, Chase Amazon, I'm assuming, this is just an assumption,
yeah,
you are either autistic or functionally retarded, so I won't make fun of you.
Right. That was nice of you.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to offend anyone.
Taking the high road.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just going to assume that
you
just didn't get it, which is cool. And, you know, I get it. It's all right. So, you know.
I agree with him, though. You should have read those anti-Justin comments. They were pretty funny.
You know, it's funny. There was a couple of people who posted in the forum that they thought it was very classy of me that I didn't.
And then you went and just called this guy a retard. So, yeah.
I'm assuming. I can only assume, based on his comments, that he has some sort of learning disability.
Excellent. All right, yeah. So we're minus one listener. That's okay. We'll pick up some others. All right, so now we have a choice. I will ask you guys what you want to do. We can go through the new releases, or we can talk about the EA Online Pass thing. What do you say?
Are we going to do both? Or
yeah, we're
going to
do both. It's a matter of order.
Okay.
Maybe we'll blow through the new releases.
Out, yeah, we would have done this already.
I think we should just go in the order that's on the...
Okay, let's do it.
I already have the new releases up. Let's do those.
Yeah, me
let's
too. Do it's, it. In, it's in front of my faces.
Do it. Yes. Do it, Chip. Do it.
This week, of course, Skate 3 comes out for the 360 and the PS3, and I played that and talked about it last week. That is a good skateboarding game.
Mm-hmm. I sort of skimmed the reviews. Most people said that the online stuff was a lot more interesting than the single-player stuff. And,
yeah, it's very much a game meant to be played either cooperatively or online, like competitively. Like, it felt fine single player too, but I could see it getting a little bit boring. Whereas the co-op stuff's probably pretty good. Although the co-op people that you're playing with have to be of the same skill level, or you won't be able to pass anything because every player has to beat the challenges.
Right, I remember that from, I think that was in the last one too.
Oh. No, the co-op? This is the first time they've done co-op, isn't it?
No, there was some sort of co-op stuff in the last one. Absolutely.
But this is like for the career.
Oh, yeah, no. There was a separate co-op mode.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you remember me talking about that video that I shot that you didn't edit.
Shipwreck sent me, he did an interview with a guy at the at that E3 EA event.
The producer of the game.
Producer of the game, and he didn't mic
that
the guy. There was no microphone near them, only the microphone and the camera, so the audio is very distant sounding. Crappy, yes, crappy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's just Shipwreck and the guy sitting at a table, so he sent me this interview. Yeah, sent me the video, and then he sent me like a link where I could download some B-roll footage, you know, some like general Skate 3 video. And he's like, hey, if you want to make a video, you know, here it is. And I didn't want to make a video, so I didn't do it.
Understandable. They forgive you at EA, too. I talked to them about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's I would, you know what, I'd be happy to buy you a copy of Final Cut Express, and you can make videos.
Have time to make videos.
Well, I know.
You have time to... I have time to make the videos. You have time to edit them.
Right. I do have the time, but I don't have the willpower. It takes a long time. And if I'm going to make a video like that, I'd rather make a video of my new toilet, which I think I will be doing pretty soon.
You got to wait, another new toilet? Or just this is the toilet that you've had
since you
moved?
Okay. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. But it's different than my old toilet. It has more features.
I thought maybe you got like a new toilet in the new apartment already.
The
base toilet just wasn't enough.
No, the base toilet is excellent.
Good to know.
I just washed my ass with it right before we did the show.
All right.
It's clean.
Speaking of washing your ass with something, Lost Planet 2 also released for the 360 and the PS3 this week.
Yeah.
Everything that I was worried about that game since the past E3, I think I've been talking about it either on CAG 4Play or this show. Mm-hmm. I was always worried about the single player because all they've ever shown was the multiplayer.
Right.
And it turns out there's really not a single player. So it splits you off into groups of four. And if you don't have people to play with, which the game, if you go into your career mode, it just simply puts you into a lobby. So you have to create a lobby to play the single player game. And then it throws just three AI characters in there with made up gamer tags.
Oh, wow. That's pretty odd.
It is. It's a total departure from the story driven, like character based first game. And I was having fun with it. I mean, it still looks great. It plays like Lost Planet. So it's kind of got the kind of, I don't know, offbeat controls where it doesn't really control like most games, but it's still kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You have the big mechs and this one has grappling hook, which the grappling hook's kind of a downer now that we've had Just Cause 2.
Right, right.
Because you can't just hook onto anything and it doesn't go very far. But I played about... I played like there was a prologue level that took about 15 minutes. Whatever, that was fine. Then I got into the actual first level of the game. And we're going down through this jungle because there's jungle environments now. And we get me and my team, we just have to eliminate some guys. We're turning on some of those, the pylons
that
you had to power up in the first game. Those are big in this game again. So we do that. We get through some screens. I come to a loading screen. It tells me I scored like a B on that section, fine, whatever. I get some points. It looks like I'm going to have to upgrade my characters at some point or customize my character. So we go into the next area. I finish that area, similar type thing. We're shooting some bugs. And I get an S ranking. Great, I'm getting better at this. I'm getting all these points. I get to the next area. It's this kind of like oil tanker, like power plant type of thing where I have to power up these five pylons. After defeating, like, there's a whole bunch of mechs and turrets and everything down there. And so I have to beat all these with my three other AI teammates, which they're completely worthless. And so it's basically me going around turning on each of these five pylons. So I finally get that done. And then all of a sudden, all these guys attack, and I have to keep all the pylons on for 90 seconds. Not 5 seconds after they start attacking. Two of the pylons get captured by them. So I said, okay, I'm just going to quit this and come back to this because my wife wanted to watch some TV.
Right.
I quit. It does not save. There is no save system in this game. You have to beat the entire level, not even counting. Like, it doesn't even count those things where I got the B ranking and the S ranking. I'm back before all that stuff.
So the level's like how long? Like 45 minutes or something like that?
I played at least 45 minutes.
Now, the first game was like that too, Lost Planet 1. You had to finish a level to save. Yeah.
Okay, so this the same exact save system, but you're relying on... You can't play this game single player, I wouldn't think. It would be so frustrating because they literally stand right next to the pylons and you could have it all the way up. Sometimes they help you, but if you die, they don't finish doing the pylon. So you have to respawn and you have this meter where everybody's lives count towards this battle points or something type meter. And it goes down each time you die. So you have, that's how many people you can lose before level ends anyways.
It's really incomprehensible why they would put a save system in like that. I mean, don't these companies realize that we play games to have fun? Like, sure, a challenge is nice and all that, but primarily we play these games to have fun. And I don't know. Maybe is this a Japanese concept that they need to torture us?
I think it is. It's a Japanese thing. That's my guess.
Capcom makes all these games I want to play and then puts these ridiculous systems in there that don't have anything to do with the game itself.
Capcom knows how to make games that look like Americans want to play, but don't play like games Americans want to play.
They find a way to ruin them.
Yeah, it's like, because really what Lost Planet 2 should be is a Western-appealing Monster Hunter.
It's what it almost is. Like, that's what I felt like with the mission structure. Like, I was going out and we were all going to team up and kill this big bug.
Yeah, which
kind
is
of a
great.
Cool concept. Yeah.
But if it doesn't work in execution, then all you got is Monster Hunter. Not a good version of Monster Hunter.
Right. It's pretty disappointing. I was looking forward to this game because the first game was pretty good. It had its faults, and basically all they had to do is really just fix the faults, and it sounds like they introduced more faults.
Yeah. If you have three buddies and you have a lot of time to sit there and play, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm a grown man. I got stuff to do. I got to pause games. I got to save games. Like,
oh, you can't pause the game, right?
No, you can pause it if you're playing single player. I don't know how that works in multiplayer, but I'm not going to leave a game paused for hours and turn off my TV.
Right. It's ridiculous. This is not 1986, you know. Anyway, let's see. What else we got this week? So, obviously, you're not enjoying it.
No.
Okay. What else we got?
It won't let me.
We got 3D Dot Game Heroes.
Oh, you bought that?
I did. I bought it with my own monies.
Did you play it?
I did. I played it for about maybe 2 hours last night.
And?
It's great. I mean, that game is... If you want this kind of game, you will not be disappointed. And by this kind of game, I mean the original Legend of Zelda. If you want to play a really cool-looking version of the Legend of Zelda with a couple of differences, like this game has towns where you go and you could talk to people and you could go into buildings and there's shops and inns. Where you could, you know, that you can rest in. So it's kind of like, I guess, Link to the Past, maybe even Final Fantasy 1 kind of a vibe.
Does it have the girl you sleep with to refill your energy?
No, but you do get a fairy. And you get a huge sword. And you can customize your character, which I didn't really do. I'm just playing as the default. But they actually do have a lot of default character models set up that are also really cool that you can, you know, you could switch your character with. The game has two problems. One I've told is just me and that I should be able to fix it. So I'll see if I could do that, which is when you start the game, there's a black bar along the bottom of the screen. And in the corner of the bar, it tells you what the X button and the square button and the circle button do. And then you can go into the options and you could turn it off. Now, when I go into the options to turn it off, what the buttons do, like that little bit of information that's in the bottom right corner, that goes away, but the black bar is still there. Now, the problem with the black bar is that it overlays on the screen. It doesn't actually, like, push the screen up or...
Right, it's covering something.
It's actually covering something. So when you're in a dungeon And if you remember those, you know, Legend of Zelda 1 dungeons, there's, you know, they fill up the whole screen. That's a room of a dungeon. So I actually got killed because I walked down to the bottom of the screen and there was a dude there and I didn't even see him.
Damn. Well, yeah. Maybe you can fix that. What's the other problem?
The other problem is there's load times. Lots and lots of load times. Hmm. For a game that, you know, visually looks very simple, just the act of walking into a house, walk into a house in a village that has one dude in it and one table in it, and you have to sit through a 15-second load time.
Does it have an install?
No, I don't think so. If there is, I will install it, but, I mean, you do. You sit and a little loading screen comes up, and you wait about 5 seconds, and then you're in the house. And then you talk to the one guy who has, like, three words to say, like, nothing in here. And then you have to sit through the load screen as you walk out of the damn house. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But all in all, the game is a lot of fun. I mean, it's exactly what it promises. It's The Legend of Zelda.
I just looked it up. There is an optional install for that.
Oh, there is. Okay, good. So I'll do that.
I guess they didn't ask you when you started.
No, they didn't. Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't just know to do it. So,
mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, so I think maybe if I do those two things, it'll make it a great game as opposed to just a really, really good game.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, it sounds like your two problems have solutions.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said, hopefully they have solutions. That's why I do the show.
I know. To learn.
To learn.
You're basically, yeah, right. I understand. You have like 15,000 people hanging on your every word, so we can just correct you in their presence.
Exactly. I appreciate it.
Okay. And what else we got this week? Ship?
An Xbox Live Arcade Rocket Knight came out as well as Things on Wheels, which I haven't played either one of those yet, but
right.
I remember the original Rocket Knight, and I think this is just a remake of it.
I see.
Like a modern HD version. And then we also have Photo Dojo, which is that free for limited time DSi downloadable, which I know, Cheapy, you had interest in that.
I watched the video of it, and it looked pretty cool. It's basically like Street Fighter, but you can use the DS camera and put yourself or people you know in the game by taking pictures of them, and you have people pose, and, you know, then you control that character. It made me think about looking for my DSi. But that's about as far as I got, was thinking about looking for it. Because chances are, you know, I have a Japanese one, and I don't know, just that thought of going through the Japanese store and looking for it, and then who even knows if it's free in Japan. So I just satisfied myself by watching the video.
I downloaded it, but then I forgot to take my DS with me to work today, so I didn't have a chance to play it at all.
Right.
So I'll try it out and talk about it next week. And when I got home today, this Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Heroes 3 for the PSP was waiting for me.
Ooh, lucky you.
I know. I love my Naruto.
See, I've got two games now. I don't care what you get. I got my 3D Dot Heroes that I'm looking forward to playing, and I have Torchlight to play when we're not doing this show also, so...
Nice.
Yes, and of course, Steam came to Mac OS X.
Yes.
So that is what you were talking about.
Yep, you know, somebody squatted on my CheapyD username. So
really?
Yeah, and then they changed their username to something else. So they're not using either username. Like, they haven't actually used Steam. Like, if you look at their profiles, they don't even exist. So... That's pretty awesome. I sent them an email. I sent Steam support an email seeing if they would hook it up for me, but I'm not holding my breath on that. I will buy a Torchlight once I hear back from Steam support and they tell me they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, because that's on sale. That's $10.
I'll buy that and check it out. How does it? Did you try it?
I got as far as we're doing this show tonight. I had just enough time to download it.
Okay.
And hit start game just to make sure that, you know, something came up. So I saw the title screen, and the title screen looked good, and it defaulted to Mac settings. So, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'll check it out.
I will. Yeah, I'm interested in Steam. And speaking of Steam.
And Portal is free.
And Portal is free till May 24th.
Yeah. So I just got to get that. It started downloading, and then I stopped it when we did the show. But I have a feeling that when something starts downloading on Steam... That's all you need to do? Is that it?
Right.
Yeah, now it's mine forever?
Pretty much.
So far I like Steam. And I'm Wombat5277 on Steam. Add me as a friend.
We will be adding Steam to the CAG price tracker, by the way. Supposedly, Super Programmer John is working on it, and it'll be in there by the end of the week. Hopefully. Is that it for the new release? I see the Batman Game of the Year 3D edition is coming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. I don't really care about that. And is that it?
That's it. Let's move on.
Yeah, this is that's it. Let's go.
This is the big news. Let's go on to the big news.
The big news that has everybody abuzz is that EA is continuing with their Project $10 initiative, which basically is they're trying to make up lost revenue from the used game market. So they're trying to pull an extra $10 out of everybody who didn't buy a game new. So, for example, you have the Mass Effect 2 Cerebus Network, the Battlefield Bad Company 2 VIP program, and these games ship with the one-time use codes when you buy the game new, and they let you access special content that you can only get through having access to this specific code. Now, I gotta say, like, Mass Effect 2 and Battlefield Bad Company 2, those specific programs didn't really offer a lot. Like, what did you get with the Cerebus Network in Mass Effect 2? You got a couple of weapons and that vehicle level. Is that pretty much it?
Well, you also got that mission with the angry Australian dude.
That's right. And that as well. Okay. All right, so that's something.
And the the Normandy crash site, that was part of Cerebus Network.
Yeah, that was lame.
That was super lame. I'm just saying. That
super, super lame. But okay, thank you for that. Battlefield Bad Company 2, you didn't even get new maps. They released new map packs, but they're really just the same old maps available in different game modes. So far, and if you buy those codes, actually, because you don't have the new copy of the game, I think it's actually $15, not $10. Anyway, I'd say the value is not really there. So anyway, so the new thing is the online passes that you're going to need if you want to play the next versions of EA Sports games online. So if you buy a used copy of the game and you want to play online, you need to pony up $10 to get this code that otherwise comes with a new copy of the game. And a lot of people are very upset about it, but I've been thinking about it because this is really a CAG issue. You know, it's a specific game shopping issue. And I got to be honest with you, and I know this is not going to be a very popular opinion, but for some reason, this doesn't really bother me a lot. I mean, I think about all the other DLC nonsense that's going on out there with day one DLC for $10 and, you know, there's like costumes and Street Fighter, you know, basically instances where you know content is being developed for the game to sell you after the game comes out alongside while they're working on the game, the main part of the game. That bothers me a lot more than this does, because really, at least this is a reward for being a person who buys the game new or, you know, on release or something like that, which is something you don't really see very often. And I realize that it's sort of a backwards type of reward, right? Because they're kind of taking away something that you would have got for free last year and previous years. But I kind of see what they're coming from. Am I in the minority here, Wombat? I mean, what do you think?
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I do see where EA is coming from, and that, you know, they don't make any money from used game sales, so they need to think of some way to deter the used game sale or to make some money from a used game sale, and this is the way to do it. Also, and Chipwreck probably knows more about this than I do, EA uses their own servers for their online games. So when you buy a used game, it even takes a little more money out of EA's pocket if you play it online, because you're also using their servers without any money having gone to them.
For like match. I mean, I think the way Xbox Live works is that really the Microsoft servers, and you know, I know EA does their own system, it's really only for the matchmaking stuff, right? Isn't it like a peer-to-peer system? So
not the EA stuff. The EA stuff, right? Don't you actually play on their servers?
I think so, but I'm not 100%. So
I'm not sure. Well, either way, regardless, you're using some EA resource to play these games online, whether it's just the matchmaking part or the actual, you know, hosting the games. I mean, I tend to buy my games new anyway, just, you know, personally, just because I don't really have a lot of options here. So it's not going to really affect me one way or another personally. And I, you know, I always say that, like, gamers who buy games on, you know, close to the release date and they buy them new are not incented enough to do so. In fact, you're often punished because the games drop in price pretty quickly these days. And, you know, for that reason, this really just, for some reason, just doesn't bother me. Ship, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, we're not big sports gamers anyway, so I guess we have to kind of say, okay, if this is going to come to shooters and stuff too. Like,
eventually.
Then it would. Yeah, it's going to eventually come to shooters, I would think.
Like if Battlefield Bad Company 2 came with this.
Right. Setup. That's more of the idea that we have to get behind.
I don't know, because the multiplayer is such a huge component in that game. They might. I mean, maybe they would do. Maybe they would do that. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Multiplayer is probably a huge component in Madden and.
I guess so. Maybe
I don't know. I mean,
think.
I'll be honest. I've played a lot of Madden games, and I don't think I've played like maybe two games in the last 10 years I've played online. And I don't mean the actual games. I mean, football games, like playing the game. I may have played twice online.
Hmm. Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know if they... I'm sure they have some kind of formula that says that the people who want to play online will pay the extra money to either pay the $10 for the code or buy it new. And they see that as a revenue stream, whereas the people who are going to buy it used are probably... they're just fine just playing it offline.
It could be.
And
it's not like there are...
I don't see a big issue with this either. I can't really...
There's a lot of outrage over nothing. I mean... I can understand you being a little upset, and it might seem a little bit like dirty pool until you think about it. But also, keep in mind that almost always you're going to be able to find a deal on a new release game. I mean, I know Madden, the next Madden game, if you buy it at Amazon, you get a $20 credit towards a future purchase. Tiger Woods, I think, is also one of the, it's the same deal with that. So there's deals to be had. If you want to play online, just look for a deal and get it.
Even when we're buying the discs for these things, we're just paying for the license to play them anyways. I mean, we never really own everything. So it's just how they're divvying it out this time. And it's almost like a DRM feature for them that ensures people buy their game.
Yeah, buy it new.
Yeah.
Or give them some money. So I don't really think it's
that. Well, I mean, buying it new is the only way that they get anything. They,
of course.
Pirates and used game sales are the same to EA.
Yeah.
I mean.
Pretty much.
I mean, I guess you could argue that used game sales, people trade them in and then buy new games, but...
They do. I'm sure that's true. But who knows they're going to buy your game?
Right.
Who knows, you know, you trade in Madden, you're going to go buy another EA game. I mean, you can never know that. It's kind of funny because GameStop came out and the CEO said... I mean, this is... It's sort of a weird statement. He says, GameStop is excited to partner with such a forward-thinking publisher as Electronic Arts. This relationship allows us to capitalize on our investments to market and sell downloadable content online as well as through our network of stores worldwide. I mean, do you think they're really excited about it? I mean, I know they have to say something politically correct, but I don't think they're like, oh boy, we're so excited that EA is trying to, you know, cannibalize our used game market, which we really rely upon. You got to sort of read that quote with a grain of salt. But I don't know. It will not affect my purchasing habits at all. I can honestly say that. Anything else?
Not on that.
No, I think we got it. I think it's good. We're good to go.
Okay. Okay, good. I know, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. You take a step back, it's cool. in other game shopping news, Best Buy is looking to compete with Game Informer, the official magazine of GameStop, or the magazine that's published, that's owned by GameStop. They have a magazine coming out called At Gamer. Very clever title there. @Gamer.
Yeah, it's very Twitter.
Is that their Twitter name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Twitter. It's very, like...
It's like when Ziff Davis back in the late 90s, early 2000s, had a magazine called Yahoo Internet Life.
Yeah.
It was a magazine about the internet, like websites to check out on the internet, a print magazine about things to find on the internet.
About searching.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, people may not realize this, but Game Informer is one of the most popular magazines in the country. I think it's The circulation number is number 12 out of every magazine ever. So well, it'll be interesting to see like what Best Buy can do with this thing, if they'll push it as hard as GameStop pushes it in their stores. I don't know. That's all we really know about it so far.
They won't push it as hard.
They won't, right?
Now, Future does or doesn't publish GamePro currently. Do they still publish GamePro?
Oh, I don't know.
Future does OXM still, right?
Now I'm looking it up, yeah.
Why don't you look this up before you ask questions like this?
Well, why don't you guys talk about stuff and I'll look it up?
Okay, well, we'll move into some game shopping news here on CAG here. A few contests that we need to talk about. Two ongoing contests. The first is we are still looking to reach our goal of 500,000 games in the CAG collection system. And once we do reach that goal, we will give out a $500 gift card to a lucky CAG, to one lucky CAG. And I will tell you exactly what number we are at right now. I think we've been making some pretty good progress, actually. We are at 480,000. Wow, we are making very good progress.
They don't do Game Pro anymore. They do OXM, Nintendo Power, PSM3, Endgamer, Nitro Girl Gamer. I've never even heard of
that. What?
Yeah, that's a magazine.
Nitro Girl Gamer.
No, Nitro and Girl Gamer are two different magazines.
Oh, okay.
Edge. They also do Edge.
What the hell's Nitro Gamer?
It's just Nitro. I don't know. I'm just looking at their
It's called list. Nitro Gamer?
No, just Nitro. But
oh,
it's
Nitro.
But it's under the game section of Future Media's website.
It's an Australian... I don't know. What the hell? It's a muscle car magazine.
Well, then I don't know why it's under games.
I think. I don't know. Maybe there's another... Maybe there's a few different Nitro magazines. Anyway, so if you want to enter this contest to try to get a $500 gift card, go to the contest section on CAG. And speaking of contests, we have a brand new contest we just announced this week where we are giving away over $10,000 in GameStop gift cards. We're giving away two $200 gift cards a week until we give away over $10,000 worth of those things. So, of course, that is thanks to a GameStop sponsorship, I'm sure. If you visited CAG recently and you don't have some sort of ad blocker going, you will see GameStop ads on the site.
Do you have all your tickets?
Me?
Yeah, do you have all your green tickets?
I can't win.
Cheap Shipwreck, do you have all your green tickets?
I do not. I probably cannot win either.
Run, Shipwreck. Run as fast as you can. Don't stop.
You can win. Why can't you win? I wouldn't. If you happen to win, I won't disqualify you from winning. You have nothing to do with it.
It looks questionable, though.
It does look questionable. I wouldn't.
You can donate it. Well, look. How about this? You can win it, and then you can do whatever you want with it. You can give it away to somebody else if you want. Anyway, it's a huge contest, obviously.
Boy, can I? That sounds like a great contest to win.
Well, you get sexual favors for your $200 GameStop gift card. Anyway, so in addition to this contest, like I mentioned, we have all this ads going on CAG, and they're also a sponsor of the CAGcast. So we will tell you about one of the current deals that's going on GameStop.com. And there have been a lot of deals lately. I mean, it's pretty crazy. They're finally trying to get people to use their website, I think. I mean, it's been a long time, you know, since they acquired EB Games. And it's been a long time since they had, like, some sales worth mentioning. And finally, they do. So a lot of deals going on there. They have a coupon code that'll get you 25% off an order of $100 or more on in-stock items, only available online. The coupon code is 25DEAL. That's a pretty good deal. Quick, Wombat, if I buy $200 worth of stuff, how much do I save with
$50?
Very good. You are a smart man.
Yeah, I do math for a living.
Yes.
They also have another deal, which is pretty good, where they have certain games on sale for a limited time, like the first 1,000. Yeah, the first 1,000 copies. God of War 3 for $35.
It's very un-GameStop like, I have to say, to have these types of sales. And I'm glad that they're being very aggressive, because Amazon and Walmart and Newegg have all been very aggressive, and a new challenger enters. So it's good stuff. Very good stuff. And thank you to GameStop for the sponsorship. And everybody, enter the contest. Just go to the contest link on the top of the CAG website. Get in there. Very easy to enter. Yeah, and Oscar the Grouch writes in and goes, what do I think about GameStop's sudden run at being a discounter? Do you think they are feeling the pinch from Amazon and Walmart? Yeah, I mean, I think maybe, and I don't know this, I don't like really talk to people at GameStop about their strategies, and if I did, I wouldn't probably tell you about it on a public show. I think maybe their strategy has been in the past that they just want to get people to come to the stores, you know, so they can get you to get the magazine, get you to trade in your games. I think they thought there was more value there, you know, to just get you to come to the store. And the website was really a vehicle to get you to do that. You know, they had to have some sort of online shopping presence, but they didn't really, they weren't very aggressive with it. And maybe now they realize that it's in their best interest to drive traffic to their website, get people to be used to buying stuff on GameStop, because it's got to be a matter of time till they launch some sort of serious digital distribution site, you know, to compete with Steam. I'm surprised they haven't come up with one already.
They already had one.
They have. I mean, they have a very bare bones thing where you can buy games from them online for your PC, but they don't have any of the community aspect that Steam has, or really, they really, you know, I don't think they're even close to being a major player in the downloadable marketplace, you know. So I think this is maybe all part of their strategy to ramp things up. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. And yeah, I mean, ideally they would probably buy Steam, but I don't think Gabe is selling.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. So that's one sponsorship. And another sponsorship that we have comes from our friends at GoDaddy.com, where we have a bunch of coupon codes for you. Not so loud. People complain that you they can't hear me talking if you do it very loud. So you have to find the happy medium on that, because I'm not going to mix this thing independently. So GoDaddy.com, 10% off any order, coupon code CAG10, $5 off $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain names, CAG domain. Did somebody change that? Did they change the...
I did. I changed it. Yes. The price went up.
Oh, the price went up. Okay.
Some like three people let me know. So okay. I figured I was...
Sorry about that. They didn't tell me.
No, I know. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not our fault. They didn't let us know, but I changed it so we could... not do it again.
Okay, so GoDaddy.com for all your domain registration and web hosting
needs.
And
you ruined my groove with that.
Sorry. Well, we need to get the information out there. Why does it say Netflix on here?
I figure we might want to mention that.
Nah, screw them.
Okay.
If you want Netflix, Netflix.com/CADcast. I don't even know if it still works. Free trial, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat's News and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I know Shipwreck reviewed Iron Man 2, the game, not the movie or the planet. So, pretty great, right?
Yeah. That's a 3.5 hour long game. It's so, like, everybody knows that the studio was shut down like a month before the game came out or whatever. And it's just, like, they have some good ideas in there, but there's just no reason to play it. It's just super boring. I'm done talking about it. Let's move on.
Did you see the movie?
I have not yet. But the game has nothing to do with the movie.
Oh.
No, my mom, who's my go-to babysitter, decided to go on vacation last week. How dare she?
How dare she?
I know, right? So we haven't seen the movie yet.
All right. What else do we have in this section?
We already talked about Steam coming out for the Mac.
Yes.
Have you seen the Fallout New Vegas Collector's Edition yet?
I have not.
I'm a little, this is probably my most anticipated game of the year.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a little disappointed with the collector's edition.
I'm looking at a picture right now. I see casino chips.
Yes.
And some playing cards.
Everybody wants casino chips that can't be used anywhere.
You mean everyone wants, how many, you get 7 casino chips, right?
Yes, that have no value.
So you can't even... Now, why wouldn't they just give you, like, a whole set of casino chips so, like, if you play poker with your friends, you could use them?
That would be awesome. Like, an actual, like, Fallout New Vegas, a Fallout-themed poker set?
Right. Let me ask you this question, okay? So this is $80. You get 7 poker chips. What else you get? You get a book, a deck of cards, and a making of DVD for $80.
Another a special Lucky 38 Platinum chip.
Okay, so you get one nice chip and seven not nice chips.
And you get a graphic novel, which is probably like 7 pages.
Okay, and that's $80. If everything was exactly the same, but instead of the 7 chips, you got a full set of chips to play with, and it was $100, what would you say to that?
I don't know. I think I'd still rather not get the platinum chip and just get the and get a full set of regular chips for the
I'm sure it's not really platinum, that chip.
Walmart. I know. I understand that. It's still a metal
that is,
chip.
That is in quotation marks.
Okay.
In fact.
Forget about the metal chip for a second. Would you, for $100, would you buy that if it came with a full, you know, the full, the cards and a real poker set chip?
So, well, right. Then we would probably need 2 decks of cards. And is it going to be those high-quality casino chips?
All right, forget I even asked.
Well, that's what I'm asking. If you're going to do that, then yeah, I would probably
Good chips, nice chips.
I would my interest would definitely be piqued.
Okay, fair enough. Shipwreck, you don't care.
I bought the first one, the first collector's edition. But
oh, you did?
That came like in a lunch pail.
Yeah, I remember.
Bobblehead.
And the clock?
No, that was the super Amazon edition.
Oh, right.
Just the clock.
Right. But that's still better than this. A lunchbox and a bobblehead is still better than this. That's what I'm saying. My problem isn't really as much the crappy stuff that it comes with, but it does come with crappy stuff. But it's a downgrade from the last one.
Right.
You can't go backwards in your offering in your collector's edition, and this is a huge step backwards. A hardcover graphic novel is kind of nice, but...
Yeah, that's the coolest thing in there.
That is the coolest thing in there, probably. But really, 7 poker chips and a deck of cards. That's the best you could do. Why not have a fake menu from a fake Vegas buffet while you're at it, too?
Why not just put in some, like, dice or something, like, so you could play Fallout Craps or something?
That would work. That would be kind of cool, too. Something. It's like there's something missing. That one key, I gotta have it item that's missing from this... From this set. I was thinking maybe Amazon could do that like they did with the clock, a little more high-priced neon light edition, but that would probably be a little too hard to ship.
Or with the poker chips. Maybe they'll do it.
Or a full set of poker chips.
Right.
So there you go. Right.
There you go. What else we got?
What else we got? We got Mega Man Online.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any interest in playing an MMO featuring Mega Man?
I don't even have interest playing a regular Mega Man game.
Would an MMO component make you interested in playing Mega Man?
No, it would make me head for the hills.
Okay, then let's move on to the next story.
Why did you put that on the outline?
So I could hear Chiefy not be interested.
Thank you. Okay. Excellent.
Because that was funny.
Good work.
That was you were laughing. His response was humorous. That's why I put it on the outline.
All right.
So what do you think about 4-player co-op onslaught mode coming to Bad Company 2?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Bad Company 2, mostly the multiplayer mode. But now it looks like this is really an extension of the campaign, right? It's not, you're not using your online character. You're using, you know, it's like the single player stuff. So here's the real question is this going to be free to people who have the VIP code? Because if it's not, they could go eat a dick.
That's what I'm thinking, is that that's what they haven't said yet, is whether or not it's free or not. And because I think it is your online character. It's like a horde mode, where you just face waves of enemies on 4 different maps.
I don't know if you... I don't know. We'll, I guess... I'm not sure. And maybe it doesn't even matter so much if it's your online guy or not, but... If they're going to charge money for this and it's not free for VIP members, then really what's the point of the VIP program? I mean, I know Super Programmer John, I believe he rented this game and he wanted to play with me. And so he wound up buying the VIP code for $15. And he's like, you know, it was such a waste of money because now the game has dropped in price since then. He hasn't really played it that much. I think the game is down to $30 in the UK. And he basically paid, you know, he bought that stupid VIP code for 15, which is half the price of the game that comes with the code. So it's not really feeling like he got a lot of value for his $15. And really, like, if you want to convince people to buy this stuff in the future, give us some value. Really. Or, you know, to make us, get us to buy new. You know, give us some value for our, you know, for our buck.
Well,
but I'm interested in that.
I was going to say, if this is free, that may be the value you're looking for.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And if it's not free, I'm not buying it.
And I'm still interested in the game, even though I don't have it. There's still part of me that's like, maybe I want to play this.
But you'll be terrible at it, like you are with every other first person
shooter.
I am
awful. But it doesn't mean I don't have a good time.
Right.
And I'm fun to hang out.
I have a good time. We were playing Halo Reach, and I have a very good time. After every round, I announce Wombat's kill-death spread, which is usually like around negative 10, depending on the game mode. It's my little joy. It's the little things, you know, that keep me going.
But you enjoy playing games with me.
Of course, it's fun.
Exactly. So
you make me look good. I'm not really good at these games.
You look good, and we have a good time, isn't it?
Yes.
Weren't you the one who said earlier that all that matters is having fun?
Yes.
So now don't you feel bad insulting me?
I'm not insulting you. I'm just telling you how I get my jollies.
Well, I'm glad I can oblige then.
You're pretty bad, though.
Oh, I'm terrible.
You've been terrible. About that. Awful. Yeah. Awful.
I am. I'm awful.
All right. Well, we can move on to Sony, but we already talked about 3D Dot Heroes. We talked about... They announced Little Big Planet 2, and I hyped up the first game so much and then was so crushingly disappointed by it that all I want to do is announce, say that Little Big Planet 2 is coming, and I hope that I like it more. But I'm not even going to read anything about it, I think, until it comes out.
What could they do to make you like it more?
Well, this time the game actually, you open the box and it gives you instructions on how to actually print out your own disc and then how to write code, and then you can make your whole own game from scratch.
No, it doesn't do that. I think supposedly you can make
multiple levels for a full game that you could put up on the internet for people to play. And there's all sorts of different game modes. Like you could actually have top-down driving levels and levels that look like Space Invaders and stuff. So,
yeah, you can make cinematics and stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get too... When I was younger, I used to spend a lot of time reading previews and stuff of games that come out, and inevitably, you're just disappointed. I mean, even if the game is great, it's never as good as it's going to be in your mind after you read all these glowing previews of stuff. So... I try not to do that anymore. A game like Red Dead Revolver, which I'm really excited. No, I mean Red Dead Redemption. Really excited about that game, and there's a lot of videos out there about it, and I'm really trying hard to stay away from all that stuff because I think I'll only be disappointed. Although I did see that the some reviews leaked out, and it got a 9.75 from Game Informer. They really seemed to like it, but I didn't read the review. I just looked at the number. So I don't know. That's a Little Big Planet 2 is coming out. Hopefully it's great. Hopefully it'll get me into the Little Big Planet thing. That's all I have for Sony until a little bit later in the show, we might circle back to Sony. You want to move on to Microsoft?
Sure. I've still been playing Alan Wake. I hope to have that review up here sometime this weekend. But I enjoy that game. That game's a lot of fun.
Awesome. I did watch. I've been watching the videos, the webisodes, which are very weird. They're prequel videos. I really don't know what's going on, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. I have pre-ordered it. It is coming. I guess next week it comes out.
Yes.
Yeah. Next week. May's a busy month.
Hell yeah! It comes out the same day as Red Dead Revolver, right? A Redemption.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else in Microsoft? Halo Reach, I mean, do we need to talk about it? I mean, yeah. I played the Invasion mode.
Yeah,
that just
that's
came
what
out.
I was going to talk about. I didn't know if you wanted
okay,
to talk
go ahead.
About that.
Just yeah, that yeah, mention it.
I like the, what is it, the deathmatch in that.
Slayer.
It's the Slayer, thank you, in the new mode. I like the way that they set it up where everyone starts off with the same class, and as your team gets more kills, when you hit 25 kills as a team, new classes open, and then as you hit 50 kills as a team, then... more new classes open, and if you take territories, that's how you get better loadouts. And I think it's kind of cool. It actually takes, the whole leveling up system of one character and, say, a Call of Duty and basically throws it into one game mode in 10 minutes. And I think it's kind of an interesting take on that style. I don't like the other mode, though, where the capturing the bases.
That's the only one that I've been able to get into so far.
Yeah, that one's
and
not...
it's a lot of teams of two. I didn't really even understand why there were different teams.
I don't understand why they... I think they split you up in teams of two because if your other guy on your team is alive, you can spawn where that person is.
Yeah, so it's like, the only they basically made it like Battlefield.
It's
very Battlefield-esque, but I don't know. I like playing Halo Reach Beta, and it's going to be over soon, so...
Yeah, it's like over in a day, isn't it?
Next week, I think, right?
Yeah.
Also, I downloaded... I know I just went off on downloadable content a little bit, and now I have an excuse to go off on it a little bit more. I bought those Just Cause 2, that weapon pack for $2.
Oh, good. How's that?
It's, you know, you get the parachute jet pack thing, and you get an airplane and some missile launcher thing. Here's the problem with it.
The parachute thing's the only thing that sounds interesting to me.
Well, let me tell you about it, and then you will definitely not buy it. It suffers from this fatal flaw, which is a big problem in the main game itself, in that when you buy something in the game, I'm talking about with like the in-game currency, you don't really keep it. You have to keep rebuying it after you die or you drop it or something like that. So
right.
The same thing is true with this content, including the parachute. So you have to buy the parachute in the game.
Why?
And then when you die, you lose it. And you have to rebuy it. And it's just, you know, I have plenty of money in the game. And it's like $50,000 or something like that. So it's not a huge deal. But it's annoying to have to call in that dude with the helicopter and him to drop, you know, to buy it. And drops it down and equip it. And then you die and you got to do it all over again. It's very annoying. I don't even know why that system isn't placing at all. In the game. Forget about the DLC stuff.
If that system wasn't like that, would you like the parachute thing?
Yeah. The parachute's great. It makes you go farther. You have rockets on it that, you know, it's like your typical video game rocket system and that boost system where, you know, you have to let the boost recharge before you use it again. But it's cool. But it's certainly not fun having to rebuy it every time. They should patch that game and just say, you know, if you buy something once... You have access to it forever.
Or at least, like, after you've completed the campaign.
Something.
Maybe, like, where you have the whole open sandbox feel.
It's sort of pointless, that little bit of game design. So I really, even though it's only $2, it wind up being more frustrating than fun, quite frankly. So let's move on to Nintendo.
I've been playing a DS game that I will have a review out for shortly, but it is Monster Racers.
You're playing Monster Racers? No way. No, how'd you get that?
They sent that to you?
Amazingly so, yes.
I emailed them about that weeks ago.
You must have had to, like, stick a finger up somebody's ass to get that game.
Two.
Two fingers, oh my god.
Two asses, no. One finger, two asses.
At the same time? Because I want a diagram.
It is... guess what it is. Guess what it's about.
Monsters racing in a kart game.
No, it is not kart racing. It is on foot 2D platforming racing. Yeah, it's kind of... It's a decent little game. I mean, it's very Pokemon-esque. You're going around and... befriending all these different monsters and upgrading them and racing them.
Is Frankenstein in the game?
His brother is.
Frankenberry?
Frankenberry, yes. I forget what his name is in the game, but yes, Frankenstein's brother is there because you can take monsters to him and have them bred and you get a new monster.
Fruit Brute?
Mm-hmm. Fruit Brute.
Count Chocula.
We're talking...
Oh, that was the easy one. I didn't even mention that. I thought it would be insulting to our listeners. I had to go up with Fruit Brute.
Nah, these are not...
Booberry,
not...
is that better?
Booberry's good. Booberry. Thank you.
These are monsters in the sense of pocket monsters. Not
not like pedophiles? Because that would be a monster.
Right. Right.
I haven't finished it yet.
How is
it? Sure.
How's the game?
It's okay for what it is. I mean, it passes the time.
It fills the void of your dreary life.
Yes, it gets the job done when I'm on the
camera. Now, is there a rich storyline? Like, why are these monsters racing in a circle on foot?
Well, you are a monster racer, which is the person who has the monsters as pets, and then goes
as opposed
on and
to monster
them.
Fighters, which Pokemon is.
Right, right. It's basically Pokemon, but instead of fighting, you're racing them.
And you have Dracula.
And so
that kind of sounds okay, actually.
It's not. It's actually not bad.
I choose you, creature from the Black Lagoon.
I choose you, Swamp Thing. All right, so Monster Racers. Fantastic.
Hey, what's this about Nintendo's no transfer policy?
I want to know if we have an appointment booked with the Monster Racer developers at E3.
We do.
Only one?
I don't know if we can talk about it yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we can talk about their game. I'm not sure if it's embargoed yet.
Well, only one of us is allowed in. We didn't talk about that when we were in Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. We're doing all of our E3 bookings right now, which mostly Shipwreck is. I booked something, though. I booked Bethesda, so give me some credit. Mm-hmm. So we're booking this stuff, and I did get an invitation to the Sony press conference, and I didn't even have to do anything. It just showed up in my inbox, and I think Shipwreck, you too, right?
Yeah, I think we all did, right?
Wombat didn't get anything.
Oh, right? Wombat did not. Okay.
All right, we got to try to take care of that. So I know that the Microsoft ones have gone out, and I didn't get anything. And I just remember, like, every year it's always, like, a hassle trying to get the Microsoft and Nintendo ones. And, you know, like, it's just, I don't, it gets so frustrating have to, like, try to track down these people and beg them to go to their press conference, which is basically, like, you know, an hour and a half commercial for them. And I know I come across like an arrogant asshole, but like I mentioned earlier, hey, you know, maybe I am an arrogant asshole. So I just said, I put out on Twitter, I said, you know, this year I'm only sending out one email to try to get to the Microsoft press conference because I just, you know, it's so annoying. And no sooner did I send that tweet out than Major Nelson replied to me and he's like, I'll take care of you. So I sent him an email, and, you know, I hadn't sent out an email yet, so he was my one email. I sent it to him, and I was like, oh, I really appreciate it, and can you hook up Shipwreck and Wombat as well? And he said that it's just they're having it at a very small venue this year, and they can only take care of one of us. So that kind of sucks, but I don't know.
So only basically only one of us is allowed into the Microsoft press conference. They don't have room for all three of us.
Right. They said, I guess they're having it at a different venue than they did last year, because last year it was a very large venue. And so the Sony one is a very large venue as well.
Obviously, they just don't want us to talk about their press conference, because if only one of us goes, we're just not going to talk about it. We will boycott.
I don't understand. I mean, I appreciate it. It was very nice of Major Nelson to have the hookup, but I don't know. So we could try other avenues to see if we can get...
Yeah, we still have other sources we can contact.
I guess the question is, why don't the three major publishers want us in their press conferences? Well, Sony does.
Apparently. I didn't even have to ask for that.
I'm working on Nintendo. I think we've gotten into Nintendo in the past, so I think we might have a chance there still.
But it's always a matter of like just sending out so many emails and having to track down people and beg to come to your party. Basically.
Which we don't want to do. We're not beggars.
Commercial.
You should want us at your press conference. You should want this.
Otherwise, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go buy pants.
Yeah, exactly. You should want the status of having the CADcast crew at your press conference.
I agree. So that's the E3 stuff. But we'll talk about E3 in a little bit. So Nintendo's got the new Black Wii came out with a free Wii Sports Resort and Wii Motion Plus. But the problem is, if you already own a Wii, there's no way to transfer your games that you have bought, you know, through the, I don't even know what it's called. What's the Wii Store called?
The Wii Store.
Oh,
the
okay.
Wii Store.
There's no way to transfer those to the Wii Shop. Because the content is all tied to your machine and not to any type of username or account. So there's literally no way to do it. And if your machine breaks, it's also a hassle because you have the same problem. Apparently, you can call Nintendo and maybe they'll take care of that for you if your Wii breaks. But apparently, it's still very difficult. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew about that. It seems very archaic in this day and age that they couldn't figure out some way to hook that up for people. But, you know, especially like Nintendo fans, like they could be pretty crazy with the games that they buy. You know, I could see people downloading a lot of classic Nintendo games and then wanting to get this Black Wii and maybe not even realize that there's no way to transfer their content, just assume that they could do it. And then they're in for a big surprise when they can't.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the DSIs. I mean, if you want to upgrade to a DSi XL and you already had a DSi, all the stuff you've downloaded won't transfer.
That is pretty weak. All right, let's move on to the iPhone.
I have been playing an iPhone game.
You have?
Yes, Ninja Town, Trees of Doom.
Oh.
I got a code for this, and I really liked the Ninja Town game that was on the DS, which was a tower defense game.
Okay.
This is not a tower defense game, but it still has the same little cute ninjas from Shonimals. And basically, you're just trying to... There's a tree on each side of the screen, and by tapping on the tree, the ninja either climbs or jumps to the other tree. And you're just trying to get as high as you can, avoiding all the different traps and the Wii devils, which are the enemies in the game. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it's $1.99, I think.
Would you say it's a vertical platformer, basically?
Yeah, basically. I mean, if your ninja is climbing on the tree that you're touching, he will climb up. And if you touch the other tree on the other side of the screen, he will jump to that.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah, beyond that, there's really not that many controls, and there's different like textures to the tree, so you'll have slippery spots in the tree that you have to quickly jump back and forth between the two different sides, and you can like pull down on the tree branches and it launches them up into the air, and you just get more and more traps as you keep going higher and higher on the trees. So it like takes you maybe a minute to play a game, and then you can put it aside or play again. $2. Cool. I recommend it.
Okay, so Ninja Town, Trees of Doom. Sounds pretty good.
Did you see that Dragon's Lair on the iTouch iPhone is now $1?
I saw those on sale, yes.
Yeah, I did see that, actually. I don't know if I would get it, even. Did you get it?
I did not.
I thought about picking it up, though, since it's basically the original game.
Kamish has it, and he's played it, and it plays well, so... It's worth the buck. I just don't need another version of it.
Yeah, see, I don't have any versions of it, so I'm kind of tempted to pick it up.
Maybe. Did you also see that there was another leaked new iPhone in Vietnam? Did you guys see that?
They had iPhones in Vietnam?
They have, another site. That? The Vietnamese version of Gizmodo paid $4,000 for this specific iPhone, and they didn't plan on giving it back.
20% decrease in value of these things over a couple of weeks.
Well, in Vietnam, you know, your money goes a lot farther, whether you're buying young boys to have sex with or next generation
iPhones. You have to sit at a table with Christopher Walken and take turns.
So, they opened it up, and it looks like it has the same processor as the iPad, that special Apple A4 processor, which is good news because people think that processor is fast in the iPad.
Yeah, that's insane for a phone.
Yeah, so that might be great. I mean, I can't wait for the next iPhone. And I did actually at John Riccardi's party, I tried his iPad again, and now I feel like I might want one.
They're pretty slick.
It's pretty fun, like, even though you're just really browsing the web and, I don't know, it's expensive for what it is, that's the problem.
I have a coworker that only emails from his iPad. Like, all his emails say, send from iPad, on the bottom.
I'm just adding that to my Gmail account.
Send from iPad?
Yeah.
Send from iToilet?
Save $500. It seemed very fast, like, browsing the web, you know, over Wi-Fi. John just has the Wi-Fi one. And I don't know, I kind of like, I might want that. And I keep telling Mrs. Cheapy, like, oh, you know, I tried it again and it was kind of fun and
could be good for E3.
Well, I don't know. I could buy the 3G one.
Right. You could buy one for each of us and we could be reporters at E3.
Yeah, that's
that would be awesome. I'm with that plan.
Our coverage would be through the roof.
Then. Yeah, because then it would be like walking around with a little clipboard. Except you could push it. You go boop, boop, beep, pop, pop.
Does it really make that noise?
It does, yeah. It's like, oh, what game are you showing? Oh, we're showing Gears of War 3. Oh, let me write about that. Beep, boop, beep, pop, pop, boop.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll think about it. It's coming out here at the end of the month, and it's more expensive here, and the 3G version is a lot more restrictive here and expensive. Boop. Like, it's like a closed, you have to use this carrier, a certain carrier, and it's locked to that carrier. I don't know. So annoying. Anyway, let's move on to everybody's favorite part of the show. Show us your tweets and the CAG bag questions. A bunch to go through. Ulster1 says E3 is about a month away, and I was just wondering if you think it's time for E3 predictions. And he lists a few: thinner, cheaper Xbox, Portal 2 predictions, Wii HD. Who wants to go first?
You spoke first. You go first.
I don't.
Yep. Shipwreck. All right.
I think there'll be the thinner Xbox at this one, definitely. Along with the Natal bundle. I think that's going to be a whole bundle that they put out there with a price. And Portal 2 predictions. What does he mean by that? There's going to be a Portal 2.
Right. That it's going to be good?
Sure, it's going to be good. Why wouldn't it be good?
Okay, I will tell you all the E3 stuff right now. And a lot of the stuff is not even like, I mean, I'm going to tell you that some of the stuff might be rumor and some of the stuff is definitely happening, but I'm not going to tell you which is which. But it might all be true. Okay, so yeah. Thinner Xbox. It's happening. Black. Small. It's happening. That was a rumor that was sent out.
So the Gary Coleman edition Xbox?
Yeah. Right. So that's definitely supposed to happen. What else? The Wii, new Wii.
Can we call it that now? If they do make a small Xbox, is it now
the Gary, and it's black?
Can we just call it the Gary Coleman?
Okay. And if it's bitter and lost all its money?
Then it's definitely the Gary Coleman.
Right.
Have I told you about the naming traditions in my family?
No.
The way we typically name the males in my family is we take the first name of one of our, like, one dad and then the middle name of the other, like our grandparents.
Okay.
Of the, like, so my dad's name is Jerry Coleman, and my wife's dad's name is his first name's Gary. So we could potentially have a little Gary Coleman if we go by those naming conventions.
Gary Coleman Good.
Yes, Gary Coleman Good.
That's a good name.
I like
it. I know, I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Mrs. Ship isn't that thrilled about it, but it's either that or Reed.
Whatever.
I really like Reed. Oh, wait.
Women have no rights.
Can I go back
to
my E3 gossip now?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the story. So thinner, black, small, little black mini Xbox is coming. What else did we say? New Wii, a new version of the Wii. I don't think it's going to be like Wii 2, but it's going to be like a more powerful Wii.
A Wii 2.
And in fact, well, there were some rumors going around, not rumors, but Nintendo registered the name Wii Power, Power Wii. They trademarked Power Wii. So look for the Power Wii.
I
don't know
much Power Wii.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you do. So, look for that. Look for the Power Wii of some sort
to be
announced at E3. I heard that the 3DS, you know, we know they're going to show it at E3. I heard that it's pretty impressive and that the graphics are like Wii quality graphics. I've heard that the Sony PS3 is getting a completely redesigned cross-media bar. Like totally new, not just like new columns, but like totally redone. And I think that will be shown at E3. I've heard that there will be no PSP 2 at E3.
See, I thought there would be.
They've decided to not show it, is what I've heard.
Ah, but it does exist.
It does exist, but it will not be shown at E3.
Tokyo Game Show.
Why would you show it? I would think they'd want to wait to see what Nintendo has and then go back to the drawing board and
Nintendo has the 3DS.
I can't. Well, we haven't seen it.
Well, I know, but we haven't seen it.
Wow. That doesn't mean Sony hasn't.
You know what's going to be the most interesting part of E3? Watching the Sony press conference and seeing how they spin the status of the PSP. Like, will they even mention the PSP Go?
In passing, they will.
Oh, by the way, we made the PSP Go. How about Killzone 3? Yeah. I think that's all of my E3 gossip for now, unless I'm forgetting something. I think that's pretty much it.
No new Mortal Kombat?
I don't know. That's all I know. That's a lot, though. It should be a good E3. It sounds like it's going to be a good E3, though.
I agree.
New hardware, new stuff, vitality sensor. I mean, come on.
Is there going to be just some just crazy piece of shit that somebody puts out there again? Like, last year it was just movement controllers all over the place that nobody saw. Like, we kind of saw them coming, but the Sony one kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, it's going to be a lot of Move and Natal this year.
But nothing like they're going to come out with like a 3D something besides the DS.
I'm going to go with the hand job machine.
I would buy that.
I know you would. So would I.
I'm still waiting for that. All right. So that's the E3 gossip there. So look for that and let me know if I'm right in a month. Class Act has a question for Shipwreck. I won the Shred Nebula contest on CAG 4Play about 2 years ago. I was just wondering if I can get a tracking number for the shirt. After 2 years of checking my mailbox daily, I'm starting to think it got lost.
I love that question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Unfortunately, the developer was the one that was supposed to send out that t-shirt. So keep checking.
Here's your tracking number. You ready? 1, 2, 3, etc. Go Eagle Go. One of the reasons people bought Halo 3 ODST was for the beta invite, and it seemed to be one of the reasons it was almost a full price game release. It was a full price game release. Does the short length of the beta and that those who bought the game got into it last reflect badly on Bungie? I don't know why the beta is so short.
I mean, they never promised it was going to be long.
They didn't promise it, but I could totally see somebody being disappointed by the length of the beta. Although I think it's not that much shorter than the Halo 3 beta was.
I think it's like a week shorter or something.
I think it's like a week shorter. So it's not that different, but I could certainly see somebody expecting the beta to be longer than 3 weeks, right? It's 3 weeks,
yeah,
right?
But you could always go back and play all those maps you got with Halo 3 ODST.
That's true.
There you go. Problem solved.
Let's see. Ultramontane says, hey guys, what are your thoughts on the Humble Indie Bundle and their stats on the supposed pirating of their product? The Humble Indie Bundle is a pack of, I think, 5 indie games that they put up to raise money for charity, and you could pay whatever you want for the bundle. You could pay a penny if you wanted to. It says they are allowing customers to pay. It says they are noticing that users are posting direct links to download this bundle, which bypasses the need to contribute. I find it interesting they could work the word piracy into this, so I was looking for your feedback. Does downloading a pay what you want game or bundle without paying anything considered piracy? And then he includes a link to the stats. I think it was like 25% of the people who are playing the game, they believe, pirated it. It's pretty inexcusable to do that, I think. I mean, really, you can't pay a dollar for it, which goes to charity. Instead, you have to download the game illegally. I mean, really, is there any excuse for that? I'm not sure what this guy's point was with the question. Is he looking for me to say that they're talking about piracy for no reason? Well,
they were just wanting to try it before they wanted to invest that dollar. I'm sure all those people went back and bought it after the fact.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. It seems pretty crazy to me. I don't know. People are pretty awful, I guess.
I guess he's asking if it's piracy, if it's just a pay-what-you-want game, but...
Of course it is.
Yes, it is.
You're taking something that doesn't belong to you.
You have to bypass something in order to get it a different way than the creator intended for a price not intended by the creator, then you are pirating the game.
Right, it's pretty simple. And you know what? Like, I'm not like your mother. I'm not going to tell you that.
You're not my mother?
You shouldn't be doing that. Well, I'm your mother.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But in a situation like this, like, I always say, like, you got to go with your gut whenever you do something that you think might be morally questionable. And if you're a person who's basically taking, you're basically depriving charities of money. And it really, you're talking about like a dollar by taking this game for nothing. I don't know how people can really like do that and feel good about themselves. You know, it blows my mind. Let's move on to R-Bear. He says, Wombat, I recently began working for a collector of sorts and going through his comic collector. I came across his comic collection from the 50s and 60s. As a sort of payment, he's offered me 10% of whatever he sells, and he wants to sell everything. While sorting, I found a Tales of Suspense number 39, which I'm sure you know better as the introduction of Iron Man. Looking up the going rate online, I've noticed that this comic is worth a pretty penny. Besides giving it to you, what should I do with it? Should I get it graded using my own money? Should I try to sell it on a comic website or auction?
What I would do is, yes, I definitely think you should get it graded. You could get it CGC graded and find out exactly how much it's worth, because if it is graded, you can sell it for significantly more money. Also, you'll know which printing it is and all sorts of other fun goodies about the comic. Because if it is an original, it's going to be worth a lot. And if it's graded, it may be worth double than just trying to sell it.
How do you grade a comic?
You have to send it to CGC and they grade it for
you. You have to mail it to them.
Yeah. Wow. I think they're in New York, so. Or your other option is to just give it to me. Both of those, yeah. I think both of those are worthwhile options.
How much money are we talking about?
I don't know. I kind of want to look it up. So you
look it up while I go to the next question. CA Fuzzy Nuts says, Cheapy, what do you think of the Headhunter mode in Halo Reach? Everyone seems to like it and talk about it, but nobody is mentioning that it's just big-ass chains from Saints Row. For Halo. Thoughts? Yeah, you're right. It is pretty much big-ass chains. And Saints Row is the same exact thing, except you're collecting chains from people that you killed. I do like that mode a lot. It is a lot of fun. I have not won a round yet playing it. But, they took that from Saints Row, but I have a feeling that Saints Row might have taken that from someone, too. But, hey, whatever.
Here's a CGC-graded... Yeah. Tales of Suspense 39. It's graded an 8.5, which is pretty high, and it has a buy it now price of $15,000.
Wowzers!
The a 7.5 CGC graded is $11,000. Now, when you're not CGC graded, the highest priced one right now is about $5,000.
Right, so you got to do that. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. This one has a buy it now. Here's one, a 9.0 CGC graded for $7,800, and that's a 9. So I don't know why that one's okay. So
we'll buy that and then sell it
to the other guy.
To the other guy.
Yeah.
Well, the other guy's just trying to be greedy, trying to find a sucker.
But yeah, you want it CGC graded.
Okay. Good advice, Wombat. Good advice. Deoxin writes in and says, to me, it seems like new members get screwed over on this site. Did you mean for that to happen, or did it just work out like that? Oh, of course I meant for it to happen. I'm trying to screw you. Actually, I wanted to screw you specifically, but I couldn't figure out how to do that. I don't even know what he's talking about.
I don't know.
Because we don't allow new users to have a signature or to trade for 30 days. So it's 30 days. It's really, how are you screwed over? It's a free site.
Well, what about all those song downloads that you promised?
Right. I always get these emails from people, from disgruntled people on CAG who, like, you could tell they did, like, a Google search on something, found a thread about it, and then complained to me that some offer from, like, 2005 is not valid anymore, and saying, like, I signed up for your site. Where's my 35 free music downloads? I'm like, dude, can't you read that? It's coming from some other site, and can't you look at the date on it? I get that all the time, especially with Xbox Live 48-hour codes. I mean, like, I get a couple of those a week, and I really want to write back to the people, but I just, you know, take the high road, and I don't. Let's see. Macklershed says, Cheapy, if a poisonous snake bit me and its venom was coursing through my system, what would you recommend I do? Get the poison out, Macklershed. Get the poison out.
I think he sent us this question last week, so he may be dead.
He did. That's a Howard Stern reference.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
And Ian Watson really wants me to answer this question. He sent it via Facebook, via Twitter, every which way. I am Scottish, not religious, but I do believe in God. I like the sense of community the Jews seem to have. Is it worth signing up for the activities? I will pass on the circumcision, though. Is that the deal breaker? Do you know if there's a tight Jewish community in Scotland? It's pretty damn cold over here. What is he talking about, Wanda?
I think he wants to be a Jew, but I've never met a Scottish.
He wants to hang out with Jews.
I've never met a Scottish Jew, and that would be kind of awesome. But I do believe that circumcision is the deal breaker. And I want to know what the Jew activities are.
Yeah, I don't know. Bar mitzvahs? You want to go to bar mitzvahs? You don't need to be
you
Jewish to go to bar
mitzvahs.
You want to
complain about the heat? I don't think you need to be Jewish for that.
Right, well, it's cold. He's going to complain about the cold.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, you don't need to be Jewish to go to a bar mitzvah. Just meet some Jewish friends. I'm sure they'll invite you to their little Jewish games. You know, I don't even know what you're talking about, the sense of community.
We hate each other.
Yeah, that's what that's what I thought. I don't know what he's talking about. Anything else? Wasn't there a question for shipwreck somewhere or no?
I think we asked it.
Oh, we did that already.
We already asked that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Then it's time to go. It's time to go home.
Boat Crash Chronicles.
The Boat Crash Chronicles is a new comic. Made by who?
Meager.
Shipwreck. By Meager. Meager. He just put out one not 15 minutes ago.
They're pretty cute, actually.
Yeah. This one's about my trip to EA.
Am I in this one?
It is good. You are not.
Oh, I only like the ones I'm in, which I think was one.
Have you been any?
I was in one.
Okay.
Hanging out with your wife. It's kind of like real life.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap it up and say goodbye. I want everybody to review us on iTunes. Please just go to iTunes, type in CatCast, and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. And if you do get our show on iTunes, you should subscribe to it, because I get a lot of emails from people saying, hey, your show's not updated on iTunes. What's the big deal? You know, what's the story? If you subscribe to it, you get it right away. But if you just download it like show at a time, It has to wait for like the page to get updated, and I don't know. So just subscribe. It's free. It doesn't, you know, it's a big deal. Click that subscribe button. Review us. It's beautiful. Please follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/GPD, Twitter.com/Wombat5277, and Twitter.com/Shipwreck. If you want to get the video game deals via Twitter, Twitter.com/video game deals.
Oh, and,
or if you're,
oh, I was going to say, what? We're giving away a lot of stuff on the UGO.com Twitter feed. Tomorrow, okay. Or I guess as you're listening to this, we'll be giving away some Iron Man cologne. It's like limited edition. It's the bottles look like Iron Man. It's pretty cool. Today, if you were following us today, you could have won a PlayStation 3 signed by George Romero.
And you're giving away bottles of Scarlett Johansson's urine.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we have Scarlett Johansson urine bottles to give away. But we're like giving away stuff like every day. If not every day, at least twice or three times a week. We gave away last week, we gave away these Iron Man baseball caps, which are pretty awesome. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff are given away. You should check out UGO.com on the Twitter.
And you have to spell it out.
Yeah,
U-G-O-D-O-T-C-O-M.
It's the letter U, letter G, letter O, D O T C O M.
Also, I want to remind everybody of our GoDaddy coupon codes. GoDaddy.com, coupon code CAG10 gets you 10% off any order. CAG5 off 30 gets you $5 off a $30 order. And CAG domain gets you $7 and something.
$7.49. I didn't change it on the bottom.
Right, you didn't change it on the bottom.
Eat me.
But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. Next week is a big week for game releases. Hopefully, we'll get some of them before the show.
We should, but I am flying out to another junket. So,
where are you going?
I'm going to LA, but I'm not. There's some embargoes, so I'm going to go see.
Can you
some
tell
embargoes.
Everybody about that? You have a roommate.
What do you mean?
They are. We have a roommate in the hotel this time.
What?
He has his own room.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get your own. What is this? Like junior high school band trip?
Hide your privates.
You have to say what company it is. I got to know what company makes you share.
It's you would be able to guess which company it is.
Yay!
It rhymes with tectonic farts.
I'm drawing a blank here. I'm gonna have to use my supercomputer to crack that code. Wow, yes, sharing a hotel. I mean, is it like a suite or something?
No, I think it's double beds.
If they share the same bed.
I was gonna say they get one bed.
Do you know who your roommate is?
No. So did you ask? I will report back on that next week.
I told you to ask.
No, I'm going to be surprised.
You're terrible. I hope it's somebody good. It would be my first question. Who am I sharing a room with?
That's a deal breaker for me. I'm sorry.
Me too.
I'm too old for that.
I would be like, I'm sorry. I think, I have a big meeting at work.
Right. I'm just too old for that. I'm 30. How old am I? 36. I can't be sharing a hotel room with another man. I'm sorry. Unless he's cute, of course.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities here.
That's right. Get those fingers ready. I mean, they're all warmed up from Monster Runner.
How come yours isn't bright green and it's so long?
I don't get it. What's that supposed to be?
Penis reference.
Penis? Oh. Well, who has a bright green
penis?
Who
has bright green?
You mean yours isn't?
I'm really confused now.
Yeah.
Never mind.
All right. The show is over. Stop listening.
Boy, is it.
Now. Do you want to play some of the sound effects on the Ampa Man toilet to motivate you? Okay, push. Why don't you do that? Yeah. Oh, that's the Ampa Man song. Here. You can make a poop in the toilet. Just make a poop in the toilet. And you can get stickers for your book. You can poop just like Papa does. In the toilet, so much fun. Get a lot of stickers and presents just by pooping in the toilet. Poop, pee in the toilet, so much fun, and you get valuable prizes. Pooping is the best, and you will soon learn that.